Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. It could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Who knows? But this show, The Flatline, if you've heard it before, it's always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's always done with no manipulation. That means simply there are no hidden agendas here because we're not trying to sell you anything, and we're not trying to coerce you into joining up. We're not trying to get you to fess it up. We're just trying to give you some accurate information. Information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you're able to verify and identify that plan, you have the freedom to orient and adjust if you would like to do so. But my job is simply not to give you any human speculation, but to give you divine revelation from the inerrant Word of God, the Scriptures. Yes, it's a show about the Bible, but not maybe what you've heard before, not somebody trying to get you to join some church. It's just somebody here, me, Rick Hughes, trying to get you some information. Information that will make you aware of God's plan for your life, who and what you are, and what your choices and what your options are in life. Remember that life is about making bad decisions, or excuse me, about making decisions. I'll say that again. Life is about making decisions. And remember that bad decisions limit future options. So if you make enough bad decisions, then obviously you box yourself in, obviously. You don't have any options left. God wants you to make good decisions based on divine viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is what God's will and purpose and plan for your life, what that really is. And that's found in the Bible. Human viewpoint, well, that's what your friends will tell you, or that's satanic propaganda a lot of the time. For example, that you could find happiness in this, that, people, circumstances, whatever. But happiness is not found in those things. Happiness, the Lord Jesus Christ told us, where happiness is found in Luke 11:27-28, where he said, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. All momentum is developed by hearing and keeping the word of God. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you don't have spiritual momentum, if you're not hearing and keeping the word of God on a consistent basis, you're never going to be happy. You're always going to be frustrated. The greatest frustration of all is when you destroy your own life, when you create a set of circumstances in your life by means of so many bad decisions that there's no way out of it, that you've boxed yourself in, and in effect, you have destroyed yourself. You know, it's very possible that you can do that. You can destroy your own self by making a series of bad decisions under the influence of arrogance, because under the influence of arrogance, you will justify why you're right and the rest of the world is wrong. And when you do that, the end result is self-destruction. Arrogance always goes through several steps, beginning with self-justification, moving to self-deception, and then into self-absorption, eventually ending up in self-destruction. It's a predictable trend and a predictable pattern, and it goes on all the time. And so we're going to talk about a little bit of that today, dealing with the fragmented life. The fragmented life. Now, before I explain the fragmented life to you, let me remind you of something. The Flatline is all about learning God's wonderful problem-solving devices. These are not new. This is not some new discovery. This is the Scriptures, the age-old Scriptures. But it's a new way of putting it or a new way of saying it. And what I'm saying is that there are at least 10 problem-solving devices that we can identify from the Word of God that give you the ability to handle outside pressure before you turn it into inside stress. Remember that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional because adversity is what circumstances do to you, but stress, that's what you do to yourself. So by learning these problem-solving devices, you can, in effect, use them as a flot line, a forward line of troops. That's what FLOT stands for, the forward line of troops. You can use them as a flat line or a defensive perimeter in your soul so that you can pick up and stop the assault of adversity. And what adversity does is it tries to take over your mind. It assaults your thinking so that it tries to get your emotions to kick in so that you become afraid or you become bitter or you become angry or you become whatever. And this is how you frag yourself. This is how you destroy yourself. The attack is always on your mind. That's why the Bible tells us to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. There is a mental war going on in my life and in your life as well. And that mental war is to control your thinking. Because when God wants to look at you, he doesn't look at your image. He doesn't look at your style. He looks at what you're thinking. And that's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And so the real you is what you think. It's not what other people see. It's what you think. That's the thoughts, the content, the intent, the mentality of your soul. And this is where Satan often wins the battle, when he is able to get us to frag ourselves. Now let's talk about fragmentation and what that actually means. During the Vietnam War, there was a term that was deployed called fragging an officer. This has gone on for centuries. It happened in other wars as well, but it's where a disgruntled soldier of lesser rank may be mad at a superior officer, such as a first sergeant or a lieutenant or whatever, and when that person is asleep, they would slip up at night and toss a grenade into the tent. And they would frag that officer. They would kill that person. And this was a way of murdering a superior officer. Now, the concept that we want to make is that when you pull the pin of the grenade, the implosion of the pin causes the explosion of the grenade. And then when the grenade explodes, little pieces of metal go everywhere, little shrapnel. And that is when you frag the person. And pulling the pin of the grenade leads to fragmentation. Now let's talk about it in terms of our own spiritual life. How do we frag our own spiritual lives? Or how do we destroy ourselves? And I want to give you some principles of this. I think it'll help. Number one, the fragmented lifestyle is characteristic of any Christian who fails to think in terms of authority orientation. It's characteristic of any Christian who fails to think in terms of authority orientation. The umbrella of authority is what God has given us to protect us. And that authority starts with parents. And the one thing that parents must correct, the one thing that parents must override, is the arrogance of the child. No child is born genuinely humble. No child is born genuinely humble. Every child is born with a sin nature, and that sin nature must be conquered. And the end result of conquering the sin nature is some genuine humility in the life of the child as they orient to authority. This is seen in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, where it says, "Children, obey your parents and honor your father and your mother." Obedience is the first sign of authority orientation. And so a fragmented lifestyle, as I said in the first point, is characterized by a person who cannot think in terms of authority orientation. They cannot handle someone having authority over them, whether it's their parents that they disobey and disagree with, or it's the principal at the school, or the teacher, or the police officer. The arrogant, fragmented lifestyle is the person who cannot submit to authority. So rather than respond to authority when authority comes into their life, they react to authority. And when they react to authority, then they make a series of bad decisions that guarantee they're going to be self-destructive. So think about it in these terms. A fragmented lifestyle, a lifestyle that is destructive, is a lifestyle that has no authority orientation. Number one basic thing that every person has to learn, someone's in charge. Someone has rank over you. You must learn to submit to authority. Because if you cannot handle authority in life, you cannot handle life, period. Two, this type of person, the person who can't handle authority, is subject to the following, and I'll give you a rundown. They are subject to A, thinking in terms of arrogance rather than thinking in terms of humility. Thinking in terms of arrogance means that they justify why they are right and the people who have authority are wrong. And if it was a police officer, they would say, well, they have no right to set the speed limit at 70 miles an hour. I have a right to drive 80 miles an hour. I don't mean to get sidetracked and go down a rabbit trail here, but you and I have both been on the interstates, and we've seen people, and we're obeying the speed limit, and they'll be right on your bumper. They're in a hurry. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. And sometimes I have gotten frustrated, probably like you, and I've sped up a little bit to get them off my bumper, and I've even sped up as high as 10 or 15 miles an hour over the speed limit to see if that would satisfy that person. And nope, it doesn't. They've got to go around you. They've got to get around you. They've got to get on down the road. And so you wind up having this term of arrogance, like, I've got to get ahead of someone. I can't stay behind them. I've got to go. And they justify why it's okay to break the speed limit. They justify why you need to obey it, but they don't. And it could be in any area of life. Self-justification is a destructive force in your life. If you know something's wrong and that speed limit sign says 70 miles an hour and you look at it and you say, that doesn't relate to me, that relates to all these other guys on the road, but I can drive when I want to drive. Or if that stop sign says stop and you say, that doesn't relate to me, everybody else needs to stop, I can just come rolling very slowly through there. So when you get a ticket because you violated a known law, and then you go off on the police officer, you start ranting and raving to the police officer about how unfair this is and how you don't deserve that and how everybody else is going over the speed limit and why are you picking on me? You see, that's the arrogance coming out. That's the arrogance saying, I'm not guilty. Pick on someone else. So when you think in terms of arrogance rather than humility, you are a person who is fragmenting your life. You're destroying yourself. The B concept under point two, this type of person is subject to what? They are subject to thinking in terms of arrogance, and that's reflected by this. It's reflected by inordinate self-esteem or some sort of unreasonable conceit or preoccupation with self. It's where the person who's arrogant exaggerates their importance. You know how that happens? When you have an arrogant self-image, then you have an unrealistic self-image because you see yourself as you think you are. You don't see yourself as you really are. And when you see yourself as you think you are, then you have unrealistic expectations. In other words, you expect people to treat you in a way that you're not worthy of being treated, because you see yourself as something that you really are not. And this translates out into consistent drama in the life of the person who is fragmented. The life of the person that is fragmented is always, they're always talking about their problems. They're always talking about the unfair treatment that they have to endure. And if you're around these people, sooner or later, the conversation goes to them and what's happening to them and the raw deal that they're getting and why they don't have any money and why they can't pay their bills and why everybody treats them unfairly and why they're not going to take this job because it doesn't pay enough or why they're not going to do this because that's demeaning. And they have this weird image of what they really are, and they think that someone owes them something. Nobody owes us anything. This unrealistic self-image causes unrealistic expectations, and it leads to an abnormal satisfaction with self and dissatisfaction with others. And so the person with a fragmented lifestyle can never And I repeat, the person with a fragmented lifestyle, they're never satisfied with anyone else. They're only satisfied with herself. And so you could do something for them and you could try to help them. You could go out of your way. They would have no appreciation. They would see it as something you owed them. Eventually, the fragmented lifestyle would lead to some sort of neurosis, a psychotic condition. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and by means of arrogance in your life, you pull the pin of the grenade, you pull that pin out, and you fragment your own soul, you eventually will become neurotic. You eventually will become psychotic. Because if you allow arrogance to control your life, your whole way of thinking will turn subjective. Your whole way of thinking will be based on an unrealistic self-image and unrealistic expectations. And the end result is that when you look into the mirror, you won't see what you really are. You will see what you think you are. And you will have unrealistic, unreasonable expectations from other people. So this fragmented lifestyle that I'm talking about is Christians that I'm talking about who pull the pin of the grenade. When a believer in Jesus Christ pulls the pin of the grenade, he is doing so by means of arrogance. Every Christian is a walking grenade. Every Christian has the ability to destroy themselves. And the pin that we pull is called arrogance. When we reach into our soul and we trigger the flip, we throw the switch called arrogance, and we're pulling that pin. We pull that pin when we move into mental attitude sin. That cause total preoccupation with ourself, to the exclusion of God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. Now, you do this when you get out of fellowship with God. When you commit sin and you don't rebound or recover from the sin, and remember that rebound is problem-solving device number one. If we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and purify us from all wrongdoing. The arrogant person would not confess the sin. The arrogant person would justify the sin and would say to themselves, quote, I have the right to do this because of these extenuating circumstances. No, you don't. If the Bible says don't do it, if the policeman says don't do it, if the teacher says don't do it, if the coach says don't do it, and you go ahead and do it, you're arrogant. You're arrogantly justifying why it's okay for you to do it. And when you disobey God's law, if you disobey God's plan, and that law and plan includes authority over you, whoever the authority may be, and sometimes we don't even like it. Remember Romans 13, verses 1 and 2? There could be no authority except that which comes from God. And anyone who has authority over you is allowed to have that authority by God. And it depends on, it could be the president, it could be the vice president of the United States of America, the president or the vice president of the United States of America, or a senator or a congressman. Listen, Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know I have the ability to destroy you? And Jesus said, you would have no ability if my Father didn't give it to you. And whoever's in the highest office of our nation today, they are there because God allows it. That's the only reason. The question may be, why did God allow it? That might be a legitimate question. But whoever has authority over you, you have no right to say, I'm not going to obey that authority. That is arrogance, and that's when you pull the pin on the grenade. You move into mental attitude sin, and that sin causes total preoccupation with yourself. So now you have excluded yourself from God's plan and God's purpose for your life. Maybe in your arrogance you get into crusaderism to where you begin to crusade against a legitimate authority. And you say, I'm not going to obey them. I don't care what kind of law they pass. If they pass this law or pass that law, I'll fight them to the death. And so you get into this arrogant crusaderism. You join into some sort of militia to where you're going to fight the government and overthrow the government. That's not ever ordained by God, I assure you. That's a mistake. So the pin that we pull is pulled by means of our own volition. Every one of us has a volition. Every one of us has a inner ability to choose. And we choose whether we want to sin or whether we don't want to sin. Yes, we have an old sin nature, and yes, there is the devil, and yes, these two can tempt us, but they cannot make us sin. They tempt us, but we must choose to sin. So when we choose to sin, we do it by committing negative volition, going against the mandate of God. And that's when we pull the pin of the grenade. As soon as you go negative, as soon as you say no, that's when you pull the pin of the grenade. Now, you may walk and talk and even live your life like an unbeliever. People may look at you and say, you know, that person used to be a Christian, but how could they be a Christian and do that? There's no such thing as a person that used to be a Christian. Jesus Christ promised us that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. In the Bible, he says, I give unto them eternal life and they will never perish. And neither shall anyone ever take them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gives them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand. And so, understand this. You may walk away from God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Your Heavenly Father will not walk away from you. He's not going to disown you and dump you. He may discipline you and correct you. And he may eventually call you home because you cannot be corrected, but he won't dump you. So the fragmented Christian, the Christian who's pulled the pin of the grenade, the Christian who's gone into negative volition, excuse me, the Christian that has gone down the my way highway, he's still a child of God, but he's a disobedient child because he has failed to obey his Heavenly Father. Now, if you want to recover from a fragmented life, you've got to respond to discipline, not react to it. And discipline is never nice. If you've been under it, I've been under it. If you've been under it, it's not fun to have God kick your fanny. You know what I'm talking about? That's not a very nice thing because we never want to submit to that. We always fight it. But sometimes God has to correct us. Hebrews 12 talks about the discipline that God gives to those that he loves, that he has to sometimes whip us and scourge us. So remember that. Discipline creates an attitude of enforced humility. Discipline creates an attitude of enforced humility that causes people, me and you, it causes us to see ourselves as we really are. And if we have enforced humility, eventually, we have genuine humility when we rebound or confess our sin and get back in fellowship with God. So just like we use our own volition to frag our lives, to pull the pin of the grenade, we use our own volition to recover by rebounding or using problem-solving device number one. The real secret to this is the restrainer or the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, the areas of restraint on a person's soul include the laws of the land, the trends of society, and when an unbeliever sins, he goes through those laws and breaks through those trends. But when a Christian sins, well, he has to go through a lot more. He has to break through the barriers of restraint that come from the Holy Spirit and the barriers of restraint that come from the Word of God. In other words, he says no to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He says no to the mandates of the Word of God. He says no to the authority of the land. He says no to the trends of society, decency, courtesy, common decency. And so he's broken through four barriers right there. Thus, it's no wonder. It is no wonder that Christians can be the worst sinners of all. Because once the pin of the grenade is pulled, a Christian can go in one or two ways. He or she can follow their trend towards self-righteousness, or he or she can follow their trend towards lasciviousness. Well, what's the difference? What does that mean? Well, one is the immorality. Lasciviousness is the degeneracy of immorality. And the other, self-righteousness, is a type of moral degeneracy. You see, it is the moral degenerate that was the one who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the self-righteous religious person who thinks he's doing God a favor by killing the abortion doctor. He thinks he's doing God a favor by getting a sign and marching in front of some store, and he's trying to clean up the devil's world. And the Bible never tells us to clean up the devil's world. The Bible tells us to lift up Jesus Christ. If we lift him up, he says he would draw all men to himself. But in our arrogance, we get into some sort of crusader arrogance, and we decide that we're going to clean up the devil's world for him. And the devil actually likes that, because he's the author of organized religion. That's what he uses to control people with. And so, yeah, he doesn't mind you cleaning up his world for him. That's not Christianity, and that's not God's plan for you. Christians who get out of fellowship and move into the immoral degeneracy of lasciviousness, or the moral degeneracy of legalism and self-righteousness, they can be the worst of all. And death and destruction follow from the prolonged time spent out of fellowship with God and under divine discipline. The passages that we could take a look at that relate to these would be like 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 7. Listen carefully as I read it. For persons, that's church-age believers, you and me, persons will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and arrogant slanderers, that means abusive. They'll be disobedient to their parents and ungrateful and unholy and have no love and be unforgiving and slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, but treacherous and thoughtless, being puffed up and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, even having overt appearance of godliness, although they deny the power. Avoid these type of believers, because among them are those who creep into homes and captivate weak-willed women who are loaded down with sin, led on by many lusts, always learning but never able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Another verse that explains the fragmented believer, Ephesians 4:14, that we no longer be children, that's fragmented believers, children that are destabilized in heavy seas and driven out of control, that's by our fragmented lives, driven out of control by every wind of false doctrine, by the trickery of people, and by cunning deception for the purpose of deceit. Do you think there are preachers that would really try to deceive you? Absolutely. The Bible says that Satan has his own communion table and his own evangelist and his own doctrine. Sure, he can even appear as an angel of light. Ephesians 4:26 says, although you may have become angry, that's you pulling the pin of the grenade, in spite of that, stop sinning. That means you should recover by means of rebound, and do not let the sun set on your anger. Thus in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you, along with the desire to hurt someone. That's typical and indicative of the fragmented life. Not only do you frag yourselves, but you frag other people's in your periphery as well. Well, I hope this fragmented lifestyle has been some insight into what it means to live under the control of arrogance and reject a legitimate authority in your life. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.